we're back for another great episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis, everybody.
We just got back from a 2-week vacation. It's supposed to be 3 weeks, but now it's 2. How was your Easter, man?
Oh, my Easter was pretty well. I mean, it was... I didn't do anything Easter-y, so to say. But, you know, the weekend was nice. Actually, over the weekend, the day before Easter, that Saturday, I got to participate in a food drive slash protest in my hometown of Lakewood. This was put up by 50501 Long Beach and Lakewood Indivisible. And, of course, this is in reaction to pretty much everything we're going to talk about today. But what was really promising was that a lot, and maybe this is just reflective of Lakewood's demographics, but most of the people there were like my parents' age or older. Wow. Because I was, and it was me and my parents that were there. And so yeah, it was like, there was a couple young people, but most were like older people, and most of them were white. So it was kind of like promising. It was like, okay, you know, this is everything we're going. Yeah, this is gonna affect us young people more because we have to live with the consequences, and it's going to infect marginalized groups more, so like non-white people. But this in the end affects all of us, and you know, that doesn't preclude any of us from having a heart for having empathy over people that are different than us. So yeah, that was great. I had a sign. You can see it on my Instagram. I had a sign. I was wearing my Star Trek Lower Decks t-shirt with my 90s Star Trek pendant on it. Yeah. My sign, I'm sure less than 5 people probably understood my reference. It was a Star Trek reference. It said, "Musk isn't Cochrane." Which, if you've seen Star Trek First Contact, Cochrane is James Cromwell's character. He invents the warp drive, the ability for us to travel throughout outer space. I don't think many people got my outfit. I probably should have worn my full-on uniform costume, my Voyager costume, which I, of course I have that. but maybe people would have got the joke better. Nice. It's just a lot of people are fed up about things.
Well, I know they're in a sour mood right now and a bit of a downer mood because on Easter, we're supposed to, you know, we celebrate the, you know, resurrection of Christ. The Pope died!
Pope Francis passed away.
88.
And, dude, he had a stroke. Yeah, we're recording this the Monday after Easter. You know, my wife and I were talking, and I just realized something. We've had 3 popes in our lifetime.
Yeah.
You know how insane that is? The first one, John Paul II, 1978 to 2005. He was in the papacy for 27 years.
Yeah, he held that seat for a long time.
And whereas I'm almost 30, you're
30.
You are 30, and we've already had 3 popes.
they're dropping like flies right now.
I think usually it's like, you know, someone will have 3 popes within their full lifetime, but I don't know, at this rate I'm going to have 80 if I'm lucky, 90 if I'm really lucky.
Do you feel like the late Queen of England when she had like how many prime ministers? You're like, oh, this isn't going well. This is not how it should be.
Oh God.
Because it's a bummer moment. The Pope's dead. Us, you know, Travis and I are Catholics, and it makes us think more now about the world because who's the next Pope? Because this Pope was pretty good guy. You know, he stood for stuff.
Yeah, he's one of the better popes we've had
because
in a while.
He basically, just his overall stance is basically just like, just have Jesus in your heart. I don't really give a damn what you do, like, yeah. Overall.
Open, you know, let's be, I mean, he didn't outright go so far as to say, actually, you know, well, he kind of flip-flopped on this. It's like, you know, being gay is bad, but it was kind of like, well, we'll still open our hearts up
to
them.
Well, his stance on it was actually how it should be when you're a religious figure. It's like this. Why should I care what you do consensually with an adult? Just have God in your heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, he got it. It's like, why do I care if you're gay, lesbian, straight, trans, whatever? As long as Jesus is in your heart and soul, it's not my business what you do. And that's kind of the point. Mm-hmm. Because now we got you know, other leaders doing interesting stuff right now, yeah. Travis.
You know who was one of the last people he met with before he died?
Oh, good. We're kind of now going towards what we're going to talk about.
Vice President J.D. Vance.
We're getting on our episode. Our episode today, folks, since we're now talking about J.D., is just...
The man who killed the Pope, allegedly.
That's what my cousin actually just said. this episode is basically... It was going to be just about tariffs with China more, how it's increased. And then also, too, we thought about, hey, we'd talk about that one gentleman who had been deported and he's a U.S. citizen. Yeah. But now we're just going to talk about, like, everything's a little, like, the fuck's going on? Because let's start with J.D. Vance, like you said. Why is he calling China peasants?
I don't think I saw this story.
I saw it. It was an interview on Fox News. And he's basically like, you know...
Ask ourselves, what has the globalist economy gotten the United States of America? And the answer is, fundamentally, it's based on two principles. Incurring a huge amount of debt to buy things that other countries make for us. And to make it a little bit more crystal clear, we borrow money from Chinese peasants to buy the things those Chinese...
Well, you're making it worse. And you're white trash. Remember where you came from?
I don't recall this story at all. I remember... Well, you know, it goes to what I said back... in the episode where we talked about the group chat scandal, where I said, we're either going to be talking about this for months, or this administration is going to do something more stupid, and we're going to forget about it. That's kind of pretty much what happened.
What's happening?
I did see that there was an update on the Signal chat scandal that it turned out Pete Hegseth has also chatted classified... military information to his wife.
Which one? Number three?
Well, the current one. Obviously, the current wife.
It's that time of year. It's like springtime. It's just that time of year right now.
What is that thing that Matthew McConaughey says in The Wolf of Wall Street?
Number one rule of Wall Street. Nobody. I don't care if you're Warren Buffett or if you're Jimmy Buffett. Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in fucking circles. Least of all stockbrokers. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all a fugazi. You know what a fugazi is?
No, Fugazi. It's a fake.
Yeah, Fugazi, Fugazi. It's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust. It doesn't exist. It's never landed. It is no matter. It's not on the elemental chart. It's not fucking real.
And right now it's feeling real. The Dow's at negative 1,060.
Trump declared a trade war on everyone, including penguins on a southern island.
I like that.
And then, was it the next day? He was like, actually, we're going to do a 90-day pause on that. Sorry, guys. But China, no, you're still on the hook.
But for certain stuff with China, because they're tech we need.
Well, yeah, there's certain... Yeah, well, then he's like slowly walking back on some of that. And I don't know how much of that is based on like certain companies capitulating to him.
It's so reactionary.
This is not the actions of someone like playing things smartly. Well, this is very Trumpian. This is the typical Trump thing of like, I'm going to smash around and break things, and then once I realize things went wrong, I'm going to reverse all of that and then claim victory.
You know what's even crazier though? Didn't he during his first term sign a deal with China that was supposed to be revolutionary and groundbreaking, and now he's just doubling back on it on this one? I remember he signed something with China during his first term. It's funny how it's like, you know what, yeah, you are running this country like a business. We just didn't realize it'd be one of your businesses.
And of course, one thing you got to keep in mind is that a lot of people have 401ks as like an addition to,
savings.
Like their retirement.
They're losing money. They're losing money.
Their retirement funds are losing money. And, you know, maybe for someone like our age, we can be like, okay, well, we got a few decades. So we could just wait a little bit, and maybe it'll bounce back in a subsequent administration or something like that. But if you're in your 60s, you might not have much time because you're gonna retire soon. Yeah, this is really screwing a lot of people.
Especially when the Dow is, you know, a negative 1,060.
And what you see on the right is like confusion over how to react about this. Now, you have some sycophants that are trying to cope hard, being like, hey, you know what? Not having much money builds character. Like the Ben Johnsons of the world. But you have people that are kind of more like traditional Republican. Traditional Republican in that, you know, their whole mode is, how do I make rich people richer? How do I make businesses, you know, profit more? Mm-hmm. And this is not making businesses profit more. I mean, what was it like? We're at like 145% tariff on China right now. And, you know, that at a certain point, that just means that retailers aren't going to order products from China for their stores anymore. It did, like, it won't even hit on, it won't even hit the shelves.
You mean that, like, the bulk of all merchandise that's made and sold here? Cough, cough. Like,
yeah.
Like, again, remember when I said my Carhartt was made in China?
Yeah. 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 Your Carhartt products are made in China. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a lot of those are just not even going to hit the shelves because retailers are like, well, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying for that because that's too much money. And I'm not going to, the consumer is not going to pay for that.
And you, speaking of that, because you said that, the retail and the consumer, Easter just passed. We all buy little stuff for Easter for our family, for our kids, for decoration, usually at like a Target or a Dollar Tree. Mm-hmm. My wife got both my sons little plushy Peeps, you know, those Peep marshmallows?
Yeah.
She got them plushies. And they're both made in China. And I'm like this. Yeah, like, it's almost like, how do we replace this? Because we don't have the setup here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. They say, like, oh, we're going to bring back American jobs by doing this, by setting up factories here. And I'm like, yeah, but when? Like, you have to build the shit,
Yeah. Get
the materials. And then also, too, the next thing is, you know what they say at the end of that tagline of bringing back the jobs here and, like, setting up factories here to build stuff?
Yeah.
It'll be automated. You know, they keep throwing that word automated while doing that. So I'm like, okay, so how many jobs are we making here?
Exactly. Because there's a few lies they're telling you. These countries are... They're like, the idea that most of our products are now made overseas, well, there's a reason for that. And it's not because these countries are cheating us or they stole the jobs from us. No, it's because business people in the United States, some of whom work in the Trump administration, are making the decisions to move that manufacturing to places where they pay their workers less, they pay them poverty wages, because we at least have theoretically decent wage standards in the United States. Again, I say theoretically we do. And we have organized labor. Not as strong as it used to be, but we have better organized labor than China or India or wherever does.
Vietnam. They make our Nikes.
The problem that they're pretending to solve is a problem of our own creation. It is a problem of the capitalist class's own creation. But they're blaming the other countries for it, and they're not going after the cause, right? They're not going after, like, the CEOs, the companies, sanctioning them, or
telling them, like, hey, what the hell?
Yeah,
because they're the ones running the
either
business.
Not sanctioning them or not giving them, I don't know, subsidy programs to, like, no, make this shit in the United States. I'm not an economics expert, so I don't know how they would actually do it. But the point is they're not going after the true culprits. They're just picking a fight with foreign countries because that's what the MAGA base wants to see. They want to blame everything on foreigners, and the trade war seems cool to them. Because they're Republicans. In the end, they're Republicans. Their entire basis of the party has always been, at least within the last century, has always been, how can we make rich people richer and make businesses more profitable in this country? And all the other stuff, the culture war crap, the immigration stuff, that's just for the voters. Because it's kind of hard to run a campaign on, we make rich people richer. So they do all this, you know, that's why Reagan has the whole, that's why the so-called silent majority, why Reagan's emboldening of the evangelical right, that's why they did that. Because it's like, okay, well, we'll be the party of religion. And that's a way we can pretend to be the party of religion, and that's how we'll get votes, not realizing that they would trigger a generation of Republicans to follow that would actually be true believers in that crazy shit.
I like how there a lot of Republicans now are throwing Nixon under the bus for the whole, like, it's his, this is actually his fault, the whole thing going on with China. He should never have gone there in the He should never have traveled to China back when he was president. Nixon ruined it. I'm like, really? I thought you guys liked Nixon. What the fuck? You're throwing him under the bus now?
No. Nixon's no Reagan.
There's an old Vulcan proverb. Only Nixon could go to China.
And then also, too, which is interesting, is I remember the late 90s really well. No one complained about what made in China back then. No one gave a shit because it was cheaper. If you got something made from China, just a little cheaper, more economical. No one cared. I remember all my family gatherings with my uncles who were really into politics on my mom's side and dad's side. None of them bitched about it. No one cared about like, oh, this should be made in America, my pasta strainer or my kitchen table or this and that. It's like, oh yeah, I got a deal on it. It's nice. It works. Yeah, I went to the 98-cent store. Remember the 98-cent stores? It's like, they didn't give a shit. Or I went to the Dollar Tree, and it's like, yeah, it's made in China. Okay, who cares? It's like, yeah, no one gave a shit back then, but now all of a sudden we have to, even though, yeah, those businesses that are led by American businessmen moved their factories and companies in the 90s over to, China, India, Vietnam, because it was cheaper. They got more money.
Yeah.
But now it's a big deal, and you hear, like, some of them complain. I think there's this one guy from Shark Tank, the bald dude.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was all like, you have no idea what I got to deal with in China. And I'm like, dealing with all these rules and regulations, and they're not playing by the rules, and they're bullies. And I'm like, then why are you still doing business there?
Why do you have your products made there?
Why do you have your products made there? Why did you and continue to put up with it? And why aren't you personally just saying, all right, fuck you, I'm going to move everything over myself? Sounds like you want to keep your business in China still. Because, free trade and the global market.
I can only get so mad about this. I mean, I know this will affect us, and it may very well trigger another recession. How's that? Like, three great recessions within one lifetime. How does that feel? Like, what is that old saying? May you live in interesting times.
At least we got, hey, you know what? Since you say interesting times, we have two Nintendo Switches within 5 years. Like that. Oh, wait, we might not get the Nintendo Switch 2. Did you hear about that?
Trump did the most cardinal sin. He's pissing off the gamers. How dare I not be able to pre-order the Switch 2 and delay their releases? I gotta tell you. Consoles have been having it tough the past 5 years.
They have been, man.
Like, the PS5 release got screwed by COVID and...
The chips, the microchips.
Yeah, which is why, like, Sony has been behind on investing in, like, exclusive games for the PS5. Yeah. So, like, the PS5 doesn't have a lot of games.
That's why we just keep getting Last of Us remasters and bundles.
Oh, yeah, they have another Last of Us remaster. It's the complete saga.
The bundle pack. So that's what they're, and then now with the Nintendo Switch 2, Nintendo has literally put a stop on all pre-orders now, because they don't even know if they can supply it, or they don't know if it'll cost more. Like, your pre-order might have to ask you to be like, hey, we know you pre-ordered your $450, might need a little bit more now.
the $1,000 game console. That's where we're heading.
Maybe we'll be at war with Mario soon. No Super Mario Bros. 2. The trade war is just dumb. I know we've talked about it twice already in past episodes, but it's just like... And also, too, it's just dumb because when you hear the numbers like, oh, you're going to get an 80% tariff. You're going to get 120. We're going to go 145. I'm like, after 100%, what the fuck kind of arbitrary numbers are we going to say now?
It's like, at this point, you might as well just say... We're banning products from... Because that's effectively what you're doing when you have, astronomical tariffs like that. And again, it's going to be to what end? To what end? It's like, we're going to have iPhones made in Ohio?
Oh, God. Speaking of that, there was an economic Nobel Prize winner. The name escapes me. He honestly looks like... Who was Steve Jobs' number two before he disgraced him or fired him?
Steve Wozniak?
Yeah, this guy looks like Steve Wozniak. He basically says, like, all right, cool, you want to do all this stuff by bringing American jobs in. Let's talk about, just chip building and computers and technology here. the parts you need are still made in China. We don't you can put the assembly line in America to build to put together the computer.
Exactly.
But the parts aren't even made here. So not only do you have to build so many factories just to get to the assembly factory.
Yeah, so like if you want to buy and this is the same thing with cars. Like you can buy an American made car and it may have been assembled in America.
All the parts are made everywhere else.
A lot of the parts are made elsewhere.
Everything is made outside the facilities, basically.
Congratulations for buying your new Ford F-150. I guarantee you, not every single square inch of that truck was made in this country.
It's 57% American. And I guess that's all that matters. That F plus means a lot.
Yeah, but it's like if that stuff is made in other countries and a lot of those other countries are getting tariffed, that is going to boost up the price. Jack up the price of a Ford F-150.
I don't think just the average American understands that it's not being built in America. We've gotten to the point where it's being assembled in America. Mm-hmm. All the other parts are scattered across the globe because that's what global trade is, a global market. And then it's brought together to be put together here.
Like it's one of the most insane things about the global market, which is you'd think it would be so much more efficient to just make the parts in one place, in like
make the parts where you assemble them, yeah.
Make the parts and assemble them in the same country. You think that would be so much more efficient and cost effective, and it really isn't. It's actually more cost effective to like build some parts here, build some parts in this other country, and then ship them over to this country, assemble them here, and then sell them
everywhere.
Somehow the market is organized to where that could actually be more cost effective. All this like whip around.
It's like when you call customer service on the phone and they direct you to multiple departments to get the final answer. It's like, yeah, it's just how it's set up. Mm-hmm. And it's been like that for like decades, but now it's a big no-no. It's like, it's funny too, because like, okay, here's one example. Let's say, you know, we start doing everything in-house in America, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, into that, then there will be certain products we'll never get. Like, for example, halal meat. Halal meat's not... Halal meat is literally not made in America because it's halal. It's Muslim and Arabic. It's specifically made in certain parts of this world because it's brought over to America because you can't make it here in America. It's called halal. It's made specifically in New Zealand and Australia. That's the point. Scotch. Did you know where scotch is made?
In Scotland.
Yeah. So
that's why it's called scotch. Same with like Irish whiskey.
It's made in Ireland.
It's made in Ireland.
Sake. You can't make it here. So it's like, yeah, no, like we because of Nixon, and it's weird because, yeah, no, Nixon can go fuck himself, but not for the reasons that we're saying right now.
I just think
free trade global market is great because you're getting all this worker like stuff from all over the world. But it's almost like this is just what's going on is pretty to segue into another thing that's happened recently.
Oh, what a horrible segue.
I know it's horrible, but what Trump's doing with the tariffs is because, well, speaking of that, did you hear RFK Jr.'s speech on autism?
So I think it was the CDC that put out a report on autism rates. And okay, side note, I just want to say, whenever you watch the news and they watch or read the news and the headline or the chyron in the bottom of the screen says, new study says this, there's a very strong possibility that the study doesn't actually say that.
Yes.
And even if you're reading the article, it might go into details and they might have the hyperlink to the study. And then if you were to read the study, which would be like, I don't know, a 25 to 50 page document, because it's really detailed, as true scientists are, you could figure out what it actually says, but you're not going to click on that. Most people don't click on that. So you're kind of relying on the article or the news segment. So what got reported in that CDC study by the news media that always gets studies wrong, they always put out misleading headlines, is like, oh, autism rates have jumped. Autism rates are the highest on record. You could interpret that the way that headline is written is makes it seem like more and more people are getting autism. But what's actually happening is more and more people are getting screened for it.
Yeah.
And less people are going undiagnosed than there used to be.
Because, like, the stigma's gone.
Like, if you had a population sample of 2,000 people, and let's say only 300 people get tested for autism and 100 test positive, and then a few years later, same sample, 2,000 people, now you test 1,000 people. 1,000 people get screened for autism, and you discover that 333 people have autism. That may seem like, oh, number went up. No, you just tested more people, and you discovered more because you had more to search through, more to sample.
It's not that the number went up, it's that the testing went up.
Yes.
So yeah, that's what that thing said.
RFK Jr., a man who had a worm in his brain at one point, and sound like his, with a voice who sounds like he is just surfing through phlegm in his throat. I swear, he is unlistenable. I can't stand listening to that guy. I want to cough every time I hear him talk. No, he was spewing some bullshit about, like, autism is going up, and then he, like, did this Nazi-esque rant about how autistic people don't pay taxes, they don't work, blah, 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 blah.
They can't play baseball.
They can't play.
It destroys families, and they can't date. And I was laughing my ass off during that, because the thing is this, he opened up with, autism is very sad. It's a very sad thing, because you can't pay taxes. And I'm like, that's what you're gonna lead with? It's sad because they can't take. not that he said he started off not he didn't start off by saying, yeah, when you're autistic you just can't pay taxes. No, he said it's sad because you can't. And I'm like, what the fuck?
So wait a second. If I'm autistic, I don't have to pay taxes?
Yeah, because it's very sad.
So I don't have to pay taxes.
If you get diagnosed, you know, autistic.
Maybe I should go get screened right now. You know, I always thought growing up throughout my life that it was a little bit off, you know? And sometimes I've questioned, you know, maybe my brain isn't wired as well as everyone else's. I always had problems with social awkwardness and being shy. Sometimes I don't like to make
looking
eye contact
a, looking
with
a
people.
Girl with an eye, looking at a girl in the eye because of her big ass titties. Hey, you know what, Travis? You know what? I agree with you, because throughout my whole life, bright lights and loud noises hurt me too.
Oh my God. Dude, when I don't. Sometimes I wonder in a past life that I, like, did I ever go to war or something? Because if there's, like, something that falls down and it makes a really loud noise, I jump and I'm, like, my threat alert is, like, up when that happens. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little atypical. I should probably get tested. I mean, if I don't have to pay taxes.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard from a he is the leading expert on health, like, you know, like, that's his job.
Well, he is the most senior appointed role in the government regarding health. No. Expert, that is another question entirely.
He went on further that, like, oh, it ruins families, and I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. I know so many families. It doesn't ruin them.
I have to say, I've had so many instances where, like, I'll get to know someone, and then I discover that they have, like, that they were diagnosed with some sort of atypical disorder, and I go in the back of my mind, I'm like, really?
Damn.
I never would have thought.
Yeah.
And, like, the honest vision.
Me too. Yeah.
I would never would have known. And then, of course, the stupid thing that the id of my brain kicks in, where in further interactions with that person, I start looking for it. Well, which I shouldn't do, but again, it's the id. It's like how did I? Because yeah, some people you can tell, and other people you can't. But I, you know what? I want to get to, like, the real heart of the matter, which is the way to respond to this. The way to respond to this is not saying, well, sure, autistic people pay taxes. Sure, they work. Sure, some of them play baseball. Sure, like, they are loved by their families, and their families are loving and good people, and blah, 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 blah. That's not the response we should have. Because there are some people that can't work or can't pay taxes. And it's like, what we really should have is to do a society that can serve those people, to serve those people in need. Because like those people are out there, and therefore
there are some who are out there who are very like it's extreme
impaired.
It's an extreme case.
Yes,
but that's a very select few, and not saying it's like a tiny number, but it's not as big as being projected.
And therefore, the attitude we should have is that we should build a world, a society that can serve those people to where they can function, or at least live.
Live
yeah. Alongside us with their needs met, with their special needs met. But the way RFK was talking about, people with atypical neuro disorders, I mean, that's kind of the most clinical way to describe that. He described that population of people like they were a burden.
Yeah, he did. Because it was a sad, quote-unquote, thing.
If you look at human history, whenever anyone talks about a group of people in society as a burden to society, it doesn't end well at all. Because if you have a burden, you want to unburden yourself. So if a group of people existing are a burden, what is the most efficient and definitive way to unburden
society? Oh, the cost-effective way, basically?
Yes. What is the most cost-effective way, if you buy into the logic that a group of people are a burden to society, what is the most efficient way, cost-effective way to unburden your society?
It's called choo-choo. That's the cost-effective way.
I mean, you're correct. I wasn't going to phrase it like that, but you are absolutely correct. I mean, yeah, you don't have to dig far.
It's fucked up. It's a historical thing that we've all known that it basically ends with ash. It ends with an ash in an oven.
You can look at what like RFK says, and then you can look up like what the Nazis' laws
were. They're the ones who did that, right? The Russians fucking did that shit too.
Oh, yeah.
Under Stalin. And I think even at the beginning when China went into communism, they did that shit too.
You know, this isn't recent history.
No, it's been 100 years.
Or this is recent history. This isn't far off history, I should have said.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying, though. But yeah, so within 100 years, like, his rhetoric, you laugh at first because how stupid it is, because when he said, like, oh, they can't date, and I'm like, oh, I guess he doesn't have a Netflix account, because I know they date a lot. they can't play baseball, and I'm like, there's leagues. Also, too, have you not seen any movie recently in the past 20 years? Like, those fuckers can act. Like, they can act. Anyone who...
Also, who gives a fuck if some of them can't do any of those things? It's like, that shouldn't matter at all.
But baseball's American. Dating is American. Even though ruining your family is actually because of us, you know, a parent just being a piece of shit. That's how you ruin a family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. Who cares? Because there's also various amounts of jobs here that anyone can do. I remember during the... season 6 of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. There was a school in LA that only had in their class was people with autism.
Okay.
But they were teaching them how to do special effects, because for most people who are atypical, they're very detail oriented special mm-hmm. effects.
Yeah.
And now most of them have jobs in the Hollywood doing the... Because, you know, special effects are put in for everything nowadays. Like, did you know it's not really snowing anymore in the stuff you're watching? It's not really snowing or raining or it's not really cloudy. Mm. There's actually a specific special effects departments who do the background stuff, not just the stuff in the foreground. Yeah. And guess who mostly has those jobs?
No.
People who are atypical, because they found a way, like, hey, we know how their brain works. Let's just give them jobs that do that.
Everybody needs something to do, and
no matter what it is. But that rhetoric, but you're right. After the laughing part, when you hear this, you're like, "Oh, I've seen this before in my history class."
Yeah, it is wildly disturbing. Where you ask yourself, "Which part of the poem are we at?" And you know the poem I'm talking about. First, they came for ... We're doing a different poem because we're obviously speaking up about it and saying, this is bad. And speaking of bad...
His dad would bitch slap him in the fucking face right now.
Oh.
God.
Speaking of bad, I want to get to the... I guess we're going to save the most damning thing for last. I know we talked about, like, deportations before.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Fill me in on this, because I know you were following this a lot more than me, because I was more following the other stuff. What the fuck's going on here with this thing, dude?
So there's a man named Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He is a legal resident of the United States, or he doesn't have a citizenship, but he had like a green card, and he was like, you know, he wasn't undocumented, so to say. Like there was documentation of his record in the United States. I mean, he was deported. He was sent to El Salvador by ICE on false allegations that he had like some sort of record with the MS-13 gang based on tattoos. They haven't offered any more information. The federal government amazingly has not offered any further evidence to suggest that he had gang affiliations and therefore he should have been deported.
Didn't they say he was running a sex trafficking ring in Maryland?
There's like,
No, wasn't that it? That's why they also got him, like, it was because he was running in a sex trafficking ring in Maryland, and there's no evidence also of that, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, there's no evidence for any of this shit. So apparently we made a deal with El Salvador to, like, basically outsource our, you know, detention of a lot of, you know, alleged illegal immigrants, and I'm gonna say alleged because it doesn't seem like this is the case for Mr. Garcia, that he was here legally. He was a legal immigrant, or his status was legal, but they deported him anyway. So we made this deal with El Salvador. It's like, we're just gonna ship people there, where he's being held indefinitely and held to El Salvador's laws and legal systems, which I guess is going to be one of the White House's excuses for why we can't bring him back. It's like, El Salvador is not beholden to Supreme Court rulings.
Really? So how the fuck do we get that ballerina back from Russia? Like, with that same logic, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're saying the same logic of, like, okay, then how do we get people back from Russia all the time?
God, I forgot about that story. That was, like, such a blip. Whereas the Brittany Griner thing was like, people were talking about that for months. Yeah, and later, so this went up the ladder in the courts. Because here's the thing, he was deported and he did not go through an immigration court system to like,
what?
Have that approved.
No due process?
He had no due process.
What?
And
like, that's never happened here before.
And the Supreme Court ruled, this went to the Supreme Court, and they ruled unanimously, 9-0.
Even the people Trump appointed?
Well, they ruled that, hey, you got to get this guy back. And you got to get this guy back, and he's got to go through the proper proceedings. He's got to go through the due process proceedings that you refused him. 9-0 Supreme Court ruling. Just want to point out, we have a 6-3 conservative majority in the Supreme Court. A lot of that thanks to Trump's first term, because he appointed 3 of those justices. The fact that, like, all 9 of them were on board with this,
it just tells you.
I almost wonder if that was, like, personal for them. If they're so proud of their role as judges and the role of the judicial branch that they're like, hey, you can't circumvent us. We have a reason to be here. And almost like that rule, I almost wonder if that ruling was like the Supreme Court justifying its own existence. Like, it's like, if we let this go, which, I really wish they had that same attitude in 2024, last year, when they instead ruled that the president cannot be held liable, cannot be indicted for crimes that he committed in his presidency. Which I guess means the only recourse for that is the impeachment process, which is a terrible process.
It's a joke.
It's a joke, yeah. Like,
like everything happening right now, it's a joke.
Like, yeah, principally, we need to have more impeachment proceedings against Trump again, but I also...
Just presidents in a hole at this point.
But that whole process is awful in general, and it's not going to go anywhere. So yes, the Supreme Court, in an astounding move, they told the federal government, hey, you abused your authority, and you have to get this guy back. And the White House was like, no. Make me, bitch. I can do whatever I want. What are you going to do about it?
You wear a dress, I wear a suit. Is El Salvador our new Guantanamo Bay? At this point.
Right?
Because he made a deal, right? And it's like, wait, hold on, because it's like, because here's the thing. Okay, I understand if someone came into this country illegally and they commit horrible, atrocious acts of terrorism that hurt and kill fellow Americans, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, whoa, like, yeah, get this guy out of here. But don't you first charge him in the American court like they do in other countries? When an American does something stupid in, like, you know, Bangkok and Taiwan and in fucking Europe, you know, they get charged first where? In that court.
I mean, it depends on the country, but the court of the country.
The court was saying, no, you get charged in the court of the country before you ever see your own home country first. Like, okay, example, Russia, that's what happened. So why is it here that people who are committing, you know, let's just say, hold on, alleged crimes here in this country, we're just shipping them. We're not even going through the court system because it's like, well, hell no, they did bad stuff here. They got to face the music here, not face the music somewhere else.
And here's something people need to understand. The government can just say you're a gangbanger now. And you'd be like, no, I'm not. I can prove that I'm not. Well, we're not going to give you the opportunity to prove it. You are guilty until proven innocent, except we're not going to let you prove yourself innocent. We're just going to unilaterally declare you guilty.
It's like kangaroo court without the kangaroo.
It is in the
court.
The kangaroo court implies there's a court, and we're not even there. So I want to posit this question, and this is something I've been hesitating to kind of, like, cross this line. Is Trump a dictator now? Has he finally surpassed that stage? Because think about it. Trump violated somebody's civil rights. The courts checked him. You remember that thing we learned about in eighth grade social studies, the checks and balances? That's how our federal government is set up.
The little circle thing?
Yeah. How does the legislative check the executive? How does the courts check the all that. The courts told him, nuh-uh, you can't do that. And the president said, well, I'm not beholden to the courts. I'm not beholden to anybody.
I am the Senate.
So...
badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
So, it's like, okay, if we have an executive authority figure, which is what the president is, that has declared himself beholden to nobody, let alone none of the institutions that are designed to check him, are we in a dictatorship now?
I'd say we're getting really close now because also, too, do you remember he said that he's also thinking of implementing that any U.S. citizen who commits horrendous crimes can get deported? And the thing about horrendous is, unfortunately, with that word...
it's a subjective word for one thing.
Yeah, because horrendous could be... What's the lowest kind of degree of murder? It's first degree, right? Or is it third degree?
No. For murder, it's like, third degree.
Okay, third degree is like the lowest one, right?
Yeah, and then you get to like manslaughter.
So third degree murder all the way to, let's just say, the rape of a child for horrendous. Yeah. That's such a broad thing because in my head I'm like, well, horrendous could be also just taking a shit on someone. Like when they're sleeping.
It's like when you say you're put on your food label natural flavor. Well, natural doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I know. So the thing is, folks, like he said, he's like, yeah, why not? Like if you commit a horrendous crime in America and you're a U.S. citizen, you're going on a bus.
He told the president of El Salvador, it's like, you're going to have to build more facilities because we're going to go after the homegrown criminals next. And we know what he means by that. It's like, oh, people that were born here. So yeah, no, they are openly telling us, like, if you're a citizen and you not even commit a crime you have to prove in court, but they've shown that they're not even going to bother with courts. So now it's just, if you do something we don't like, you're essentially exiled from the country, which we don't do that. Other countries do that. United States doesn't ban people from entering the country.
Can't say that now, I guess. We're getting close to that.
If you fled the country and you have an outstanding warrant against you, I mean, I guess that would preclude you from coming back. But we don't just outright say, you can't come in. Like, we flagged your ID and we can't let you aboard the plane that takes you to America. Yeah. No, we don't do that. But essentially, it's like, we will exile you. But we will exile you to another country's prison. So it's not even like you can't just be in the United States. No, you have to be in another country's prison, in another country's legal process.
Are we getting rid of American prisons? Is that what it's going to now? It's like, we're bringing back all the jobs except prison guard.
I mean, private prisons are a for-profit industry, and eventually for-profit industries go to outsourcing. So it's not, you know, totally unlikely. I mean, what, you know, at least when you did your thing about, like, oh, we should only have two prisons, and it's like, you know, the desert and then the Alaskan wilderness.
At least it's in America.
At least it's in America.
And also, too, thinking about it more, didn't you also tell me that he's also going to go to the courts real soon with his lawyers about what birthright citizenship?
Oh yeah, the Supreme Court's going to hear that. So now, in fact, they might be, by the time this episode comes out, they might have already started proceedings on that, hearings on that, like opening. Yeah, because the Supreme Court says they're going to hear that. So yeah, we might, by June, we might face like a massive tectonic shift as to what it means to be an American citizen, where just being born in this country is not going to be enough.
When you told me that, the only thing I could think of that, because you gotta sell this, and like, it's sad to say that they're, you know, thinking on their side, these lawyers on selling it, it's like, what are you gonna do? It's like, you have to, it's not about you being born here, it's like, were at least your parents and grandparents born here, so are you at least third generation born here? So I'm like, so how far are we gonna go now with this shit?
Because the court doesn't make law, well, not too much. At best, is the question that they're going to rule on, is the question just, is birthright citizenship, like, universal? Like, is it just no matter what, if you're born here, you're an American citizen? Yes or no?
Or is it?
Because if you say no, that opens up a lot of questions. And that would have to be, theoretically, addressed by Congress. Okay, if it's the answer is no, yes, where is the line? But if it's going to go through Congress, that's going to take some time. It's going to take some debate. It's going to take some discussion. The executive branch is not going to wait for any of that. ICE is not going to wait for any of that. They're going to make their own rules. And it's like, and you know what's disturbing? We're seeing cases where it's like American citizens are getting detained by ICE.
Yeah, they were in the first term as well.
And I don't know if any of them have been deported. No, I know there's a few cases where some of them have, if not in this administration, in previous administrations. So these mistakes have happened before. I don't think they've been sent to a concentration camp in El Salvador. But we know of people where there are situations where U.S.-born citizens are getting either detained by ICE, or they're getting notified, because sometimes it's like an email that gets sent saying,
yeah, email thing.
Saying, ah, your visa's up, time to go. And they're like, what are you talking about? I live here. I always lived here. I was born here. And so
I was born in Anaheim, motherfucker.
So they're like terrified. Yeah, I was born in San Fran. I mean, yeah, and what's to stop them? Well, what's to stop the Trump government? The Congress is overrun by Republicans that are going to go along with whatever he wants. He's not going to abide by the Supreme Court, he has shown. What's to stop the federal government from reaching out to us and saying, your podcast, Give Us the Launch Codes, is a criminal offense, and you are no longer allowed to live in this country because your podcast is harmful to U.S. security interests.
You say mean things on Spotify.
You say mean things on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I mean, I guess we should be thankful that the only people listening to us are your coworkers right now.
Family and coworkers.
So, you know, not a large audience yet. So maybe the government doesn't know we exist yet.
And Travis is making this joke, folks, because the whole thing is, though, it's just because it's like, really, where do you go from there legally? Because it only hurts when we laugh, kind of thing. That's why he's making that joke. Because, yeah, if he takes us to the Supreme Court with lawyers and it goes to Congress, it comes to the question, like, okay, well, where's the line for birthright citizenship? Because the greatest thing about this country compared to others is that when you're born here within the borders of America, you're an American. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're, because I've heard stories about this, let's say you're born in Japan.
Yeah.
You're not going to be considered Japanese because you don't look like it and you ain't talking like it and your parents, no, really, you laugh. Yeah. But that's one thing, for example, I've heard from a lot of people who were like, just, let's just, typical blonde white guys, mm-hmm, who were born in Japan. The shit they go through in school is like horrible because they'll never be considered Japanese because they don't look it and their parents don't look it. And don't matter how well you speak it, go fuck yourself, Whitey.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's why it like sucks in other countries when you're born there. Well, don't give a fuck. You're still this person. It's like, no, I was born here. No, you, and what? So what? If you don't look like us, you're not born here. Wait, what? I'm like, yeah, no, that's called fucked up. That's why this country's great. Because if you're born here, you're an American. That's the whole point of this country.
Yeah. It's very simple and very inconvenient if you're racist trying to make the country more racist.
But the line is, it's like, okay, does it count if my parents were also born here? Or does it have to count that my grandparents were born here? Or does it have to count that my great-grandparents? Because the thing is, when you think of the relativity of time, a lot of great-grandparents are still alive right now.
Yeah.
So the relativity of time is like, where's the line generational birth-wise? Because that's what you have to think of when this shit's being brought to the courts now on defining what a birthright citizenship is. And I get it. I know there's those people who have taken advantage of, like, trying to, you know, taking advantage of the system of, like, well, my kid was born here, so now I'm here, ha, ha, ha. Like, the sense of, like, how people take advantage of welfare checks. That's small, though.
It's
a
small
number when you see the grand scheme of it all. I mean, the grand, you know.
It's so small and negligible, but they use those kind of things as a way to make us hate poor people and immigrants.
We know people take advantage of the system. We all do. Yeah. That's the point. But the people who really take advantage of it, who have, you know, that malice in their heart, it's tiny.
It's tiny.
Compared to all of us who take advantage of it maybe just because it's like this. This will just help with my monthly expenses for 1 month.
Most people, I mean, and the truth of the matter is, like, most people that are here, quote-unquote, illegally or whatever, it's like they just overstayed their visas.
You mean they forgot to basically, in the simplified term, oh, I was a day late on my library book returning it. It's like that, like we all do. It's like, remember Blockbuster? Like, oh shit, I was 2 days late returning the game. Here's $5.
Yeah.
I still, guess what? Blockbuster still let me in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No, but right?
Yeah.
So it's like that, just to dumbify it down more. The majority of people who are, you know, really here illegally, not doing it the right way, it's like they just got busy.
And they
forgot to do this one step.
And to get down to the whole, oh, they're doing it illegally. Well, the federal government's the government is changing what legal and legally, like, what
they're changing the term legally, like, every day.
They're changing it what it means. And this is the thing, like, people really need to kind of wake up and recognize. It's like, when you say, like, oh, they did it. First of all, most people, when they talk about, like, immigration, legal versus illegal, most people don't actually know what that means unless they're, like, themselves an immigrant.
I went through it, probably.
Like, most people don't know that if you apply for asylum in the United States because you are fleeing a country that has put your life in danger, which I think was actually the case for how Kilmar Brego Garcia actually got into this country. He was fleeing. His life was being threatened by gangs from the country he came from. So most people don't actually know that if you apply for asylum, that is a form of legal immigration. So sending asylum seekers back is, it's not sending illegals back, and it's also a violation of international law.
It's actually illegally sending illegals back.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, but most people don't know that. Most people don't know what any of these words mean, and therefore they don't understand that the United States is moving the goalpost of what, quote-unquote, legal and illegal means when they talk about immigration.
I like how you brought up the part about, you know, legally coming into, and you gave an example. I thought of something, too, because we all have heard this also, too, this rhetoric of, like, you know, hey, back in my day, I came in here legally, and it's like, one, different process, right? When they did it, like, for example, someone who did it in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. But also, too, here's another example, too. When you came in here, you also still felt some prejudicial shit from your fellow citizens, your newfound fellow citizens. You might have came here legally, but do not tell me it was all sunshine and rainbows that your next door neighbor didn't call you a potato head. I'm giving Irish for example, because I've heard a lot of Irish people older or who've had a relative who was older who did it, you know, between, let's say, honestly, their great-grandmother from the Civil War era all the way to an aunt who was older who did it in the 50s. It's like, Okay, you. So you did it legally by coming in here, signing paperwork, passing through the quarantine part of the stay, just to make sure you don't have lice and yada yada. Like, you know, for example, we've seen a little bit this in The Godfather Part 2. But you're telling me that then when you got through and it was a stamp of approval, yeah, I got a green card, or yeah, an American citizen. Are you telling me your newfound citizens didn't give you the fucking middle finger during your time here? Bullshit, go fuck yourself. Like, don't lie to me.
Well, it's funny you quoted The Godfather. It's like a lot of those people, like, formed gangs to, like,
survive.
Fend for themselves.
And it's funny, too. Now, so I'm glad you brought the part about gangs to survive. Again, to bring up the MS-13 gang, there are so many stories of people who used to live in El Salvador and who joined and came to America to flee. They joined because a gun was in their mouth. It's join us or die. Yep. It wasn't like, oh, hey, you're with us now. All right, cool. It was like this. We need some bodies. Well, I'm not going to help you. I'm sorry. I'm going to put this gun right inside your mouth. Are you going to join us or not right now? Mm-hmm. I'll be like, never mind. I'm a member. Cool. We're going to tattoo you with a gun in your mouth, by the way. You're going to get our tattoo while we still have you at gunpoint. That's also how MS-13 also recruits. It's not just coming up and saying, hey, we like you like a prospect and a, you know, Sons of, it's not like a prospect thing in like Sons of Anarchy. A lot of MS-13 gang members joined because their loved ones or them had a gun pointed at them. That's how they became gang members. There's a lot of stories of that in all of the southern countries out just south of California.
Gangs, terrorist organizations, there's similar stories there.
Yeah, you don't join by volunteering. You join because they threatened to kill your daughter. Mm-hmm. So don't bullshit me there, too, with that aspect of he joined, he's in a gang. It's like, okay, how about we ask him how he joined? Because I've heard enough stories of, like, volunteering to be a piece of shit and being forced to do piece of shit work.
I think the bottom line with the whole immigration problem, and I've always feared this, it's like, you know, the more aggressive you get, the more you're going to circumvent and disregard civil liberties, and eventually that's going to come on citizens, not just the legal. Well, it's going to come on legal immigrants, but most people don't care about them. So it's going to eventually going to hit U.S. citizens
across the board.
And then, of which the problem is going to be made bare. It's like, are you just trying to get rid of the brown people? Are you some believer in the anti-Semitic belief of white genocide? And this is your way to fight against that.
And I'm glad you said get rid of the brown people, because I want to actually go through the point of view of his administration, Trump's, who are doing this. Mm-hmm. So far, everyone who has been deported by ICE has actually just been Hispanic.
Yeah, I know that, like, visas for, like, Ukrainian refugees are also going to be
I know
revoked.
Student visas across the country are. But what I'm saying is, as a whole, though. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how I remember leading up to this election, how many, you know, Republicans were saying, did you know that thousands upon tens of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of Chinese army qualifying men are entering this country illegally? Why aren't they being from the point of perspective of what this administration is doing, from their point of view, why haven't we seen any of those Chinese men being deported? Because apparently there's about, you know, 200,000 plus combat ready illegal Chinese who have entered this country.
If that's even true.
No, but you get what I'm saying, though? I'm just saying, from their perspective, fine. If this is happening with these dangerous criminal gangs, what's happening with the dangerous illegal criminal army who we have 145% tariff on?
Maybe they haven't gotten there yet. Maybe they will have gotten there by the time this episode comes out. I mean, you know, it's...
Or do they care?
Granted, we are talking about the Trump administration and you know, it's not like a lot of things are planned when it comes to him. It's just kind of...
It's like spinning the wheel at a fucking roulette table.
Yeah. It's kind of like, what's his mood at the moment? Who's the last person to talk to him in the White House? Because I've heard that's also a thing. It's like when like, he has meetings with people, they have to, like, be very conscious of, like, I guess if they want to, like, sway the president in a certain way, it's like, okay, who's the last person he talks to? Oh, he's going to talk to this guy who's, like, an advisor or secretary of this. Okay, well, that means that tomorrow he's going to do this because that's the last thing he remembers. because we have a deranged 80-year-old man in the White House.
Is that why we see every time on C-SPAN or whenever there's a cabinet meeting just nothing but like all that dick sucking? Is that why we see nothing but dick sucking? That's like, dude.
Well, that's who he wants. So he wants no, yes
but like
man.
The last cabinet meeting had so much dick sucking. I thought I was on a Brazzers website. I was like, dude, man, like fucking Brandy Love could learn a thing or two from fucking Pete Hegseth. Like the dick sucking is so like it's at the point too. Like they're sucking his cock so much. I'm like, this. Does he just eat nothing but pineapples? Or also too, are they making fun of him and they don't know it and he doesn't know it? Like, are they really making? It's so like.
Just imagine those signal chats that we haven't seen yet of like. There's got to be a lot of trash because Trump is not in those chats. Swear,
like Angela White needs to take some tips from these like secretaries. Like they're just sucking dick good.
Well, the fact that those are put on live TV instead of private as they usually are, you know, it's like, oh, this is all just performance art. They're just doing this for the cameras.
They're making it also sound like they're not even doing any work. I'm like, damn, if Trump's doing all these things, hey, let's fire all these people.
Save some money.
No, really. It is like, it is just for there for Trump to like mouth off, talk about what a great job he's been doing. And I guess he can, and you know, I guess he'll, and so, because he also like gives thanks to certain people. Thank you for helping making this happen, but also I made it happen. And they say, oh, you're welcome, Mr. President. Whatever you say, Mr. President.
I want to thank you for how you dealt with this and this.
I think of like how these people, when you see like, I noticed this when like the Treasury Secretary and the Commerce Secretary are being interviewed on the news, they always talk about like, President Trump is going to do this. We need to trust in President Trump's vision and leadership. On the thing that I'm actually an expert in.
And in charge of.
And he hired me to advise him and be in charge of. And I'm like, I seem to remember whenever you get those people on TV to talk about the president's agenda in previous administrations, there's a lot more we pronouns being used. Like, oh, we in the administration, because I, as a cabinet secretary, am part of the administration. We in the team are bringing this about, bringing forth this agenda. No, it really is like, we have to trust in our dear leader's vision. The Lisana Gaib has seen the golden path.
He's delivering us to paradise.
That's how they talk about Trump.
And it's weird because of
it's so creepy.
I'm just like, does this happen in regular boardrooms of any other company? Because I'm like, wow, like, you could just fire all these people then. If Trump's doing all this work, fire your cabinet.
Just like
save the money for the country.
Just like Disney executives talking about their strategies for film and television. They're just constantly talking about, and we have to trust in Bob Iger. Bob Iger is going to lead us on the path to greatness.
Damn it, Bobby.
The upcoming Darth Maul animated series coming to Disney Plus. It's all part of Bob Iger's
grand
vision, the golden path for the Disney Corporation.
I swear, like when you watch a cabinet meeting, it's like you're watching a North Korean newsreel.
What makes you think they didn't get that? That wasn't their inspiration.
I know. Shit. There's nothing wrong with. Here's the thing, and I want to make this clear too, because. The only reason why maybe these past few episodes it sounds like we're just shit-talking on the Trump administration is because guess what? That's the one who won. I personally at this point would rather be shitting on Kamala Harris because I didn't want her either. I fucking hate Kamala. I'd rather shit on her. I don't want her to be the governor of California. I don't. So I'd rather be shitting on this. I would happily rather shit on Kamala's administration right now than what's going on, because what's going on is like this. Wow, we're not in like a fucking South Park episode anymore. It's beyond that.
See, at least we were shitting on Kamala Harris.
We're in a Game of Thrones episode.
If we were pooping on Kamala Harris, it would just be like, well, she did this, but
I'd still call her a dumb bitch.
Like, oh,
I don't
but
want
this
her.
Is not enough. Yeah, my complaint would be she's not doing enough. Or she caved on this. My complaints would be that she is insufficient, which was my complaints about Biden and Obama. That, oh, you know, yeah, Obamacare's fine. I'd much rather have single-payer healthcare. I'd much rather have the cure than the Band-Aid.
That's great. We killed Osama bin Laden. Where's the picture, fucker? Where's the picture of his caved-in skull?
Also, why did we kill him and not put him on trial?
Oh,
because I believe in due process.
The helicopter couldn't take the load. Wait, what? But his body was on the helicopter. Exactly. No, but this is just dumb because it's so much dick sucking from leaders. Really, our government of leaders are dick sucking one guy. We're going to go to court about what birthright means. We're at a tariff war with peasants.
Yeah.
And hopefully autistic people don't have to pay taxes because good. That's awesome. That's awesome. Because instead of the, you know what I mean, right? Good for them. They don't have to pay taxes. Lucky. I'm okay. Like I'm lucky. I'm lucky for them. I'm happy for them.
If that really becomes a thing, I will definitely go get screened.
I will happily get screened. I have no shame in that.
I think I got screened when I was 5, but I don't know. They might have improved some of the testing techniques since then. That was like 20-something years ago. Maybe they missed something. I don't know.
No, we're in House of the Dragon. That's House where we're at. Dragon. We're in House of the Dragon because I remember that council meeting where they were sucking the prince's dick before he fell off his horse.
Is there anything else? This is like the get everything off our chest episode. And I want to apologize for when this comes out because just in case something else happens. I felt like we were trying to cover everything as broadly as possible, but I know we missed something. We're going to miss something. Well, something awful is going to happen. We might be in martial law by the time this episode comes out. And then you'll never actually listen to this episode.
Like I said at the beginning of this episode, Travis, we were supposed to have a 3-week vacation. We came back a week earlier because of this. And then we have technically a month off in May. But who the fuck knows?
I mean, we'll have episodes come out, but
our recordings are... We're taking a month off from recording. We have like 7 episodes in the bank right now. God, you know, I wanted to talk about Resident Evil 8 for, like, this time, but oh well. I wanted to talk about Dune a little bit, actually. I know you made the joke about the Deliver Us to Paradise and the Golden Path.
The Golden Path.
But, like, I guess the God Emperor worm came back early. I think Ralphie May said it perfectly, and I brought this comedian up a lot, because you know what? This fat fucker was right. The way people have said a lot, I've heard that, you know, El Salvador is really, like, safe now. Like, I feel safe in El Salvador. I feel really safe and secure. I'm like, you know what? Good for you. Because I can't imagine the horrors you might have lived under with this terrible gang. But there's also a double-edged sword with safety and security. And Ralphie May said it once, because he came back from a USO tour, that if you would rather have safety and security over liberty and freedom, you get none and you deserve none. Unfortunately, you have to have a balance of safety and security with liberty and freedom, because that's the sad truth about humans. You know why, for example, Russia's subway looks so immaculate and beautiful, like the 16th chapel and those cathedrals in the Vatican? It's because if you just... Graffiti, for example. I know graffiti's annoying, but it's a small crime. If you get a spray paint and do something on the walls... You don't get like, hey, fining you $20 and, you know, you're going to paint over that and make it better and, you know, wag your finger at you. No, the police are going to beat the fuck out of you.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I believe in, you know, crime paying for what they do, you know, justice and all that. But spray painting a subway wall shouldn't lead to you being beaten with a baton.
No.
Just go spend a night. You know what? Spend a day in jail. Get a fine. You know what I mean? Like, for the whole thing. But I know that might be extreme too, but you get what I'm saying. It's like, that's why Russia's subways are so immaculate and beautiful, and why certain cities here in America look like trash. It's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to go have the cops beat the fuck out of someone for spray painting. Because that's not the point. Because if you beat the shit out of that person just for spray painting, that person, unfortunately, statistically, is going to come back and do something worse. It's called freedom, choice, safety, security. It's called a balance. You can't just tip the scale one fucking way.
What you should be doing is safety and security is you should be working to build a world where heightened security is unnecessary, where there's no need for it or less of a need for it. Make it to where the only people that commit crimes are like crimes of passion and not because they got to eat.
Yeah.
Or
they
should have been institutionalized, but they weren't because Reagan closed all the state hospitals.
Or like they dropped out of high school and it got worse, or they kicked out of something and they got worse.
You know? Yeah, yeah, no. Where people have hope in future.
Or they got a pink slip at work.
Yeah. Like, this is what that's the kind of stuff I think about, like, whenever I hear kind of more radical positions talk about, like, the concept of abolishing prisons. Which, you know, sounds kind of outrageous to, like, a normal person, but it really is more like, instead of just accepting society as is, you should build society in such a way where prisons, let alone the way we do prisons, becomes less necessary.
Yeah.
And you could start... And maybe you could get to a point of abolishing them, or at least doing them differently.
Because the point is, too, is that we shouldn't need for... The whole point of, like you're saying, yeah, progressing and as evolving as a society in the civilized way is we shouldn't need to every year keep hiring more cops. It should be, it's going so well, we just need less cops now.
Yeah.
Because... We're becoming more civilized and advanced.
But, yeah, where it's like, oh, actually hiring more cops is, like, causing the problem. Because
and it's not even fixing the problem. It's both. No. It's doing both. It's not. It's causing and it's not fixing because it's like the equivalent of those old Western TV shows where it's like, yeah, this town only has, like, one cop and two deputies for, like, 300 people. And everything's nice and peaceful. And everyone respects his authority, and no one fucks around.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be nice if it's like you only needed 300 cops for the whole country because we're just doing our, you know, we're keeping our noses clean as a society and doing our shit, and we're progressing and found ways to correct the problems instead of just throwing shit at it?
Yeah, and we don't destabilize countries to the point where decades later they're so corrupt that terrorist organizations form and want to crash planes into our buildings and stuff like that. We have the situation we have now,
and it's growing. The situation
is an administration that is thriving on division, persecution, and intimidation. The Trump administration wants us to fear. So many people right now are in fear of their civil liberties being taken away because this administration has shown no interest in respecting those, in respecting the United States Constitution. It is a big power grab. The fear is intentional. They want us to fear. And we should be right to fear as well because I think having your civil liberties taken away is something that you should be afraid of.
The jokes are over. The happy, funny laughter, during the first term, and you and I talked about this, during the first term when Trump was running, every talk show host was like, I wouldn't mind actually seeing him as president just so we can hear him say on live TV, you're fired.
Like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if you were president? I was one of the few people that was like, no, it's not funny, guys. This guy is insane.
And now we're at the point where it's like this. You're right. This administration is relying on, you said, what is it, fear, division, and hate.
And hate.
And the thing is that fear and division and hate is more focused on home right now, which we should all be united no matter who's in office. And then when you point it out at the world, not just one country. Like this, the tariff thing would be different if it was just solely China alone. But it's not. It's literally every other country in the world. And it's funny, as I've heard a German say once, basically saying, you know, hey, coming from a German, it's never a good idea to take on the whole world at once. And when a German speaks like that, he's saying, it happened, we declared war on the world twice within 30 years. The same person who fought in World War I was alive to lead the Blitz in 39. And why the Germans bring that up, and why I'm bringing up when I heard a German guy say this, is just like, yeah, no, that's why it's not funny. That's why we shouldn't be, like, you know, laughing as much anymore or just tweeting about this stuff in anger. It's like, no, this is sad to say it. It really is how the Nazi Party came to be in the 30s. This is how the whole Fuhrer thing rose.
Mm-hmm.
This is how North Korea is running right now. This is the whole thing that happened during Stalin's time.
This is
how it looks at the beginning.
Yeah.
And if it keeps going like this, when we're all not working together to... And I'm not saying working together to fight it. What I'm saying is working together to do a checks and balance, because that's a different method.
I would say in kind of this like dark moment where we kind of have to acknowledge right now that our rights are not guaranteed. Now that we have to acknowledge that, I would say that if you're fed up, this is the time to do something about it. Not just sit on your TV and be informed. You know, what the old saying, let this radicalize you. You have to let this inform you to do something. What that is, that's up to you. I would say whatever you do, just be mindful of your family and friends and loved ones. But I would say in terms of things that are safe, the protest that I went to, again, it was organized by a couple of groups. One of them is Indivisible. Another is a group called 50501. I'd say look those up. See if there's any charters in your area. And see what they're doing. See if they're going to have a rally. See if they're going to have charitable events. The event I went to was a food drive. It wasn't just, we're going to hold up our signs and shout. It was also, we're going to donate non-perishable goods so that they help the homeless and the most vulnerable in our local community.
And speaking of homeless and most vulnerable in our community right now, haven't heard one thing from the administration to help out the homeless yet. Still waiting on that little, executive order act, right?
Well,
it'll never happen.
No, if anything, if it gets so far, they'll just like criminalize homeless people.
They already do.
Well, yeah, more.
Yeah,
they'll find ways to hurt homeless people more, if not already. So yeah, just if you're fed up, find ways to do something about it. No matter how big, no matter how small, because if everybody does so, it'll add up. I mean, the rally I went to, there was like, I don't know, maybe like 3,000 people there. It was pretty big. And we got a lot of cars to honk at us and say, yeah, 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 you're doing great, we love you. I think we only got one truck that like gave us middle fingers, and that was it. It was actually a really nice experience. That's kind of us recapping
2 weeks of the shit. Things. 2 weeks of stuff. I mean, shit. That guy Powell, whatever he is for the Federal Reserve.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
he might get fired.
Yeah, he'd probably be fired.
And
by
because
the time.
Of that, that's why the stock ended today at -1,600.
Yeah.
And you can't have a market doing that every day, going up and down, 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 up and down. This isn't, this isn't a motel bedroom with a hooker. Shit. No. We're basically we're just kind of, this episode is more about just basically summarize and getting stuff off our chest that we've seen and heard and been reading and watching. And you think about like, hey, Travis, our grandfathers, fought the Japanese and Nazis and in North Korea and North Koreans, and look where we're at now. My grandfather killed how many Japanese in the Guadalcanal, and if he was still alive, I'm curious what he would be saying right now.
Is that the show?
Yeah, it's the show.
Is there a sponsor? Or is this too controversial?
You know what?
Here's sponsored.
Here's a sponsor. Here's a sponsor, Tupperware. You know that thing we all use to either outside the fridge or inside the fridge to preserve the longevity of our perishable goods, Tupperware? Yeah, it's made in China. Go fuck yourself.
Editor Travis from the future here with a quick little addendum so that we don't get sued. Tupperware is a proper noun, as it's the brand name of the Tupperware Brands Corporation. What we meant to say was plastic food storage containers. As we are not associated with the Tupperware Brands Corporation in any way, no sponsorship deals, no endorsements, nothing like that. If anyone from Tupperware is listening to us, please don't sue.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe.